Hi there, it's Amy Guth, host on WGN Radio.
And I'm Rex Hupke, a terrible columnist with the Chicago Tribune.
Discourse is at an all-time high in this country, and we're very civilized, and we're thoughtfully...
Shut up, Amy!
We're thoughtfully having conversations.
Stop it!
Shut up right now,
for
you
God's
shut,
sake.
I swear to God, I will go over
you.
Punch you! You! So, in a civilized way, let us take a look at what's happening in political headlines right now. Hello and welcome to another edition of Guth and Hupke on Politics. I'm Amy Guth, that there is Rex Hupke. And holy moly, do we have a couple things to talk about today.
Breaking.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. Your homeboy, Bill O'Reilly.
Papa Bear.
Go bye-bye in Fox News. So there was a letter circulated that said, after a thorough and careful review of the allegations... The company and Bill O'Reilly have agreed that Bill O'Reilly will not be returning to the Fox News channel.
Womp womp.
So he's out. However, wait, don't get too excited, because the other shoe drops.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, Tucker Carlson, the bow-tied hero of the younger generation.
The bow-tied hero we've all been waiting for is taking his place.
The Tucker factor.
Whatever.
Flip those letters around. But only in Trump's American can someone named Tucker succeed.
I know, it's like a little. It's one of those names that, like, I feel like when you're naming your child, and I don't have children, so I don't actually know what the hell I'm talking about. But I feel like when you're naming your children, you should see how that name works for a kid.
Yeah.
And for an adult.
Yes.
And so, like, a cutesy name, or like Tucker is a cute little boy name, but it's a lousy grown ass man name.
It is indeed. And I feel like even as a kid, I'm not sure it's a great name, because I feel like the parents wanted him to be beaten up a lot. True story, by the way, if I may give a quick aside.
Please do.
Your
middle name is Tucker.
My dad, yes, Rex Tucker Hupke. My dad, and this is the God's honest truth.
I cannot wait for what you're about to say.
When my parents were discussing names,
yeah,
he suggested naming me Dork.
What?
Dork Hupke, because he thought it sounded tough. And I will say that
it sounded tough.
Yes, I will.
Why
say.
Why not just call you Wedgie, please, Hupke?
Yes, exactly. I will say that had they named me Dork Hupke, I would have been tough because I would have had to be,
because you
would
have gotten
dead.
The crap beaten yes, out of you exactly. On the first day of kindergarten and every day thereafter.
So whenever people are like, "What the hell kind of name is Rex?" I'm like, "Dude, trust me, it's a step up from what
trust
I could have been."
You know what? That is something that we have in common, because my parents were going to give me an equally bully-worthy name, and that is, they thought it would be funny to name me Ruth.
Ruth.
Ruth Guth.
Ruth.
They thought that would be real cute.
Nice.
They're like, Ruth Guth, that's so cute. No. Nothing about that would have been cute.
Ruth Guth. I love it.
Why on earth? No, and I feel like Guth is a name you got to be careful with. Like, you can't just put any name. What would your name have been if you were a lady?
You know,
a lady baby.
I actually don't know the answer to that, to tell you the truth.
I was going
to
be Ian, which is...
Ian.
Pff, no way.
Ian Guth.
I'm happy with Amy.
Yeah, Amy Guth rolls off the tongue nicely.
It really does.
Yeah.
It's the name that's going to save a nation, inspire a nation, or just sit here quietly. I don't know.
Yeah. Of course, when our kids were coming along, I did suggest, it must be genetic, because I suggested...
you were trying to get them back.
It wasn't as bad as
poor
Dork.
Poor wife.
I thought about Kong. I thought Kong would be an awesome name. Kong Hupke.
It sounds like Newsy. I mean, it sounds like a news program.
Yeah.
Up next, Breaking with Kong Hupke.
Kong Hupke.
That's terrible.
Now we'll go to Sports with Kong Hupke.
That is so bad. That is so bad. Oh, my God. I have a friend who has made many offers, and he's serious. Every time he finds out that any of our friends are expecting, he says, if your child is named and goes by Skeletor, I will pay for college. Like, the "and goes by" is key.
Yes, exactly. No shortening. Can't be Skell or Skelly.
No. Skeletor.
That's awesome.
And so now he has announced that he is an expectant father, and so I was like, I can't afford the Skeletor deal, but, like, I'll, you know, throw in $20 for that kid's college fund.
You could crowdfund that easy.
Holy crap. You know what? I started by saying seriously, and my Siri is going off, and it's taking all the words I'm saying right now.
Oh, really?
I'm looking at my screen, and it's like, holy crap. This is, but it doesn't, it's saying skillet tour. We're not drunk today, friends. We're really not.
Tucker Carlson.
Right. Back to that. So before the Bill O'Reilly news, what in the world were we going to talk about? Because when last we talked, we were talking about Holocaust centers. And that was like the biggest thing on our minds was Sean Spicer's craziness. I don't want to say misstep because that sounds too small. That's, you're spreading anti-Semitism. It's not a misstep. You're,
yeah,
you're being a piece of shit is what you're being.
Pretty much. Yes.
Yeah. So also this week, let's see. We had the Easter egg roll. And there was a really excellent label. I'm sure you saw this, Rex. I tweeted it. There was an excellent label on a New York Times photo. It was a picture of Trump and the Easter Bunny standing on like a little balcony at the White House. And the caption on it said, President Trump, parentheses, left.
Yeah, I love that. Let there be no confusion.
That's good.
And also, what was up with that? That was a weird looking Easter Bunny. I was not down with the Easter Bunny with the little round glasses. It did not look like an Easter Bunny. It looked more like a kind of creepy. Also, it had an expression on his face, which I tweeted is the expression we all have right now ever since Trump was elected.
Well, it was nodding. The bunny was back there like when he was, because Trump made it very political when he was addressing the children, therefore the Easter eggs.
Yes.
He was talking about like, it was very much the speech that you give when you've really screwed something up, but you don't want your employees to like mutiny on you.
Right.
And so you're like, no, this is but a step. You win a game one inning at a time. Like it's that kind of pep talk. So it was that kind of statement. And the Easter Bunny's back there like, like nodding with this awful expression.
Yeah, the expression was kind of like a like sort of circular mouth, like, like he looks slightly shocked or
like perplexed. almost like an inflated date kind of expression.
Yes,
like a blow up doll.
Yes, I hadn't gone there, but now you did. So.
I'll go there so you don't have to. So, yeah. And it was also, a very different, it's usually like a big affair, you know, the White House lawn Easter egg roll is usually a very big deal, and it's kind of a big project of the first ladies, and that's a big thing to organize. You know, I would cut someone a little bit of slack for it being your first time at bat in the White House.
Yeah.
But also, like, get to it. That was so sad looking.
Yeah.
Like, I could have possibly done a better one in the two parking spaces behind my building in the alley, and it probably would have looked a little fancier.
Well, anything that has, if you have Jeff Sessions reading books to children, then I think there's a real fundamental problem with your event. Because there's no need for that. And also, NRA dude was there, too.
Which one, Hupke?
The head, what's his name? Oh, my God, I'm blanking on his name right now. The head of the NRA, Johnny McShoots-a-Lot or whatever his name is. He's the spokesperson.
Yeah, that guy.
The guy they always roll out who thinks that, you know, the
Wayne LaPierre.
Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Wayne LaPierre, who thinks that, you know, the winter is coming and
we got to stockpile the weapons.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, oh, that's a good, he's going to shoot the rabbits.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was weird. And, but you know, I mean, and I do try to, I try to be careful in my judgmentalism. That's not a word probably, but of,
I need you to be judgmental. That's the whole reason this show exists, is so that we can judge Washington.
Well, but, you know, I try to not cast aspersions on every single thing that this president does.
Because there's only so many aspersions to
give. Yes, I would run out of aspersions, and they are not cheap these days. And also, that's what everybody did to Obama, too. And I don't technically want to do that. The problem is that they make it very hard, because it seems like virtually everything they do winds up somehow aspersion-worthy. But yeah, I mean, this lacked the celebrity presence that the past ones have had, not just under Democrats, but also under Republicans. And it just didn't, it's just hard right now. I mean, when you've got
we have to keep our eye on the big issues.
Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, you know, it just, everything this guy, he's so tainted that everything seems weird. I mean, it's hard when you have someone in the White House who, talked about sexually assaulting women on tape, doing something with kids. And so you're just like, I mean, and somebody who's just a bully, someone who's such a consistent bully.
Yeah.
And then you see him around children and you're like, you know, that's...
I wouldn't want him around my kids.
No, me neither. So, yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
That said,
yes.
So in this great speech that you gave, in which we should then refocus and not be petty, allow me to be very petty. No. Here, it's the thing is this, is that the man can barely open his mouth without making some kind of misstep is really the problem.
Yeah.
So today, the Patriots were at the White House, and he did not mention, he congratulated them, but did not mention the suicide of former teammate Aaron Hernandez. Mm-hmm. That's bad form.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't need to... You know, it is there. You are there to celebrate the Super Bowl champions. That is the reason for their visit. But I feel like always, you've got to always name the pink elephant in the room. You can't just.
Yeah, well, there were two, really. I mean, there was Hernandez and then there was Tom Brady not being there.
Oh, yeah, also that.
Tom Brady technically being buddies with Trump. And apparently he didn't mention Tom Brady either. So he's kind of like he only met, somebody said that he basically recreated their Super Bowl win by discussing only the things that the players who were there did. He didn't talk about anybody who wasn't present. So, it's strange. The Aaron Hernandez thing is hard, too, because that's a... I mean, he was a bad dude. Not that, you know, he deserved to... Whatever, but, I mean, you know.
Right, right.
But the whole
thing...
It's
hours old.
Right.
I mean...
Sure, right. It was the number one trending topic on Twitter. It still is. And it's a big deal. Everybody's talking about it, so...
I don't think you should have made a big deal about it, but I just feel like a mention.
Yeah,
would
just
have
to acknowledge that... Because, I mean, regardless of Hernandez, I mean, a lot of those guys were close to him, even if he turned out to be a murdering scumbag. But,
sure, sure. Even if he would have said, like, and, you know... He didn't even have to name him specifically.
Yeah.
He could have said, like, and in light of, or, you know, like, in recent hour, like, something, just to acknowledge, like, I've read the fucking newspaper today.
Which he probably hasn't. Which
or
is the other...
I have the internets.
Yeah. No, I don't think he is aware of much of what's going on, which was my favorite story of the week so far. The week is young, but... Was the not knowing where the big aircraft carrier was that he sent to. We got
God.
An armada heading to North Korea, and then the general or the naval officers come out and they're like,
actually
it was going the other direction. And that's, we find this out like a week later, you know, it's like it's like 3,000-4,000 miles away from North Korea. And that was funny in that it just shows the staggering incompetence of the administration, but it also was serious because now, like, South Korea and others in Asia are legitimately like, what the hell? I mean, how can you, we have to be able to trust you when you say you're bringing something
right
to support, you know, what's happening in this region, and then it's like over by Australia.
Oh my God. It's so painful to watch this. And I know, like, the fashionable thing right now is to go to Twitter and tweet about impending World War III.
Mm-hmm.
But truly, if we're looking at the leadership of North Korea, mm-hmm. and we're looking at the leadership of the United States, we have two very insecure men. Very.
What could possibly go wrong?
Right. and whatever it is that will go wrong will play out on the world stage.
Yeah.
And what makes it worse, in addition to two very insecure leaders that are prone to completely absurd defensive positioning and acts and name calling and settling shit like you do in the sixth grade. One of them is very young. I mean, he's what, 32?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. He's in his early 30s and he's young and I kind of get the sense he always has like something to prove, like he's trying to prove his value as a leader.
Oh,
not that ours is not at 70 years old.
Right.
But nonetheless.
And he's crazy. I mean, he has somebody like fell asleep at a meeting and he had him shot with an artillery gun.
Right.
You know, like, I mean, this guy's not stable in any...
No.
Trump seems, you know, wise.
Kind of chill.
Yeah, wise and...
Trump is a yoga teacher compared to this dude.
Exactly.
So that's going to... I don't know how that's going to play out. I don't want to be, like, on the Twitter bandwagon going, well, we're fucked. We're all going to blow up. But, like, let's be real. The likelihood of something going wrong... I'm not saying it's going to be... We're going to have a nuke on us. I'm just saying, like, some shit is going to go down. It's not going to be good. There's going to be, if nothing else, like major tensions and for a while that could result in some kind of military action. When you have, I swear to God, if it wasn't, if the patriarchy was not a thing, I think missiles would look different. If this is about like throwing phallic shaped shit at each other just to make a point.
What would they look like?
I don't know. Like a cartoon bomb. Okay. Just a nice little round kaboom.
Just a round thing, right? We don't need that. It doesn't need to be that long.
It doesn't need to be phallic.
Yes, exactly. It's not the size that matters.
I'm just saying, like, it's
what you do with
a war of male aggression.
Yeah, it is.
Weird, insecure male aggression playing out on the world stage. Well, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're right in every sense of the word. Kim Jong-un, they did some kind of military parade over there recently where he was showing off these new missiles that are ginormous.
Oh,
you know? And it's like, and Trump's like, and, you know, I'm going to drop the biggest mother of all bombs and blah, blah, blah. And, although apparently that wasn't Trump's call in the first place. But, you know, one thing to alleviate some paralyzing fear, maybe. I think we're starting to see.
I find it liberating because I'm like, this could be our last week on Earth. Do what you want.
Screw this diet. I'm off.
Right. Have the thing. Spend the money. Whatevs. Charge it. I don't care. We're gonna go.
That's one way to look at it.
Right.
But I think we are, and especially this past week or so, we've seen it over and over again. I think you're starting to see the sort of two sides of the Trump administration. One is Trump, who makes no sense, doesn't seem to know what he's talking about at virtually any point, and is just kind of a blathering idiot. And then the side that says things in direct opposition to what Trump has just said.
Yeah.
I mean, you have from Nikki Haley to even the Rex Tillerson,
the other
Secretary,
Rex.
Yeah, Secretary of State. Yes, the lesser Rex, as I like to call it.
That guy.
And some of the generals as well. And so
I love how he says my generals.
My generals, yes, of course. Here. But so I'm really starting to get more of a sense that they're just sort of like, okay, you know, he's doing his thing. He's squawking and yada yada. But you have other people who are really being more diplomatic behind the scenes and who are kind of calming things down a little bit, who actually are in touch with, you know, people in China and others and are talking about strategy and how you're going to contain North Korea and all this sort of stuff. Because there's been so many mixed messages. The Trump praises the Turkish leader after a completely rigged and ridiculous election or, you know, vote that Turkey had that stripped away more, gave the Turkish leader more. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name because I can't, but gave him more sort of unfettered power. And it was, you know, all kinds of voting irregularities and everything. Trump calls and congratulates him, which is bizarre. On its face. But then the State Department releases a statement more, you know, raising serious questions about what just happened and taking an entirely different tone. So, I mean, the good thing is that it makes me feel like there are some marginally sane people who are actually running the show. The bad thing is that all of our allies are like, what in holy hell is going on? We don't know who's, like, you're saying the boat's here and there's no boat, and you're saying this is good and they're saying it's bad, and I think that they're just completely like,
like, I know. It just looks so crappy and disorganized and shitty, and it's very, well, this is the Jed Clampett administration is what it is, because it's just so cobbled together.
It is.
So I met over the weekend, an international flight attendant from Switzerland, and we struck up a conversation, and she was trying to be so polite about it, but essentially going like, hello, what in the actual fuck? Like, she was trying to be so nice about, do you enjoy this land?
Yes.
I am only here for 2 days and then I'll fly back to where it is safe. Bye. And I finally was just like, oh no, we think it's a shit show too. You're good. You can speak freely. It's fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. She's like, I'm very relieved to know this.
What? And then she smacks, you know, like, what is wrong with you? Or starts shaking you by the shoulders. What is wrong with your country?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was interesting to talk to someone who's been watching the whole thing unfold from Europe, and her very horrified perspective on it. And I was like, we're horrified too. We're just kind of inundated. So I think that was the part of her perspective that I found interesting is that things, I mean, whatever, the whole world, thanks to social media and digital media, it's everything is immediate, but she felt like it was a little more parceled out and a little more organized, the way information is not just gathered and presented, but also consumed.
Yeah.
And so she felt not so overwhelmed, but she was like, I don't spend time being overwhelmed. I just focus on the horror. I'm like, oh,
the horror.
That's a good tactic. I'm not going to focus on the overwhelm. I'm just going to pay attention to the horror.
Yes. Why? Why? Just the pure awfulness. Just give me the pure uncut awfulness and I won't even worry about the rest of it.
Sure.
I don't. You hear from people in Canada. You hear from people, and I've got a friend in England, and I mean, they're all just, it's jaw dropping it seems, to people outside of the country, and jaw-dropping to people inside the country, too. And look at, I mean, look at the polling numbers. And
they're so bad.
It's so bad. It really is. And it's not bad, like, in a little part, and it's not one poll. This is across the board. I think there was a 17-point drop in people who believe that he will do what he says he's going to do, and just on overall trustworthiness and all this stuff. I mean, it's really like the bottom's falling out already. And there has been almost every president has a grace period, you know, a Hollywood phase or something. There's been nothing like that. And it's gone from, it started bad and it has gotten significantly worse. And I don't know. Now
we're making new categories of bad.
Yeah, yeah, really. I mean, this is just there is no precedent for this. But it's so fascinating, though, to watch them spin this alternate reality. You know, he keeps saying, like, it's been the most, you know, I mean, no president has ever accomplished as much as we have in the first 100 days. You're like, what?
That's just not a thing.
Yeah, anybody who would believe that is paying zero attention to and is completely disconnected from
reality.
Well,
but we've talked about this before. This is classic maneuvering of fascism, where you just repeat something over and over and over and over and over again and deny that you're wrong, which is rooted in absolutely the way that an abuser behaves.
Yeah.
You just say this thing over and over, you do not budge, and you completely gaslight the person that you are abusing. In this case, it is the nation and perhaps most of the world.
But it doesn't seem to be working. That's what I'm in, at
no.
least, you know, I mean, there's still that, you know, he's got that 30-35% probably base. It's never going to go away. But he's not winning people over. I mean, this is, you know.
What do you think about his core voter, though? I mean, I think he's lost a few that were like, hey, man, you didn't do the thing. I voted for you to do this and you didn't do it.
Right.
But I think there's some, particularly on the far right. I'm not going to say alt-right, but like far right. Mm-hmm. And its various factions that have only dug their heels in deeper.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, absolutely. No, there is a. I mean, there are definitely signs of people fraying, and a little bit of that support eroding, but not significantly. And you have others who are just, they're all in. He can do no wrong. You know, I get emails from people who just think, like, thank God we finally have a strong president. And I'm like,
what are you talking about?
I mean, really, again, the problem here is that we get hung up on ideology.
Yeah.
But the truth is, you can look at him right now, and I don't cast away all policy, all opinions about anything, and just objectively, this is a disaster.
I mean, if you were to put him in just business terms, business terms alone, like regard him as a CEO, apolitical, and it's about just the way he is managing his business. In this case, it happens to be the United States, but let's just say he's CEO of a company doing a shit job.
Yeah, completely. And oh my, you know, you could do this nonstop from now until he's out of office. And so it's a kind of a dumb thing to do. But again,
but let's do it.
Why not? if this was Obama, if this was Hillary Clinton, I mean, any, like, just take one of these things that's happened and it would be end of the world chaos coming from the right. But I mean, there's the just nonstop, the golfing, there's the self-enrichment, there's, you know, Ivanka getting copyright trademark deals in China. There's
the day she was dining with Chinese leadership.
Yeah. There's Ivanka just being there, and there's the whole children running the business still and not separated, and there's no tax return, and there's not knowing where the thing is, and the boat. And I keep going back to the boat just because I love that story.
Yeah.
Here we come. Oops.
Wait.
Charge. No, not that way. I mean, seriously, can you imagine if Barack Obama had said, we are sending an armada, it's so strong, we're sending it to North Korea, and then 6 days later, somebody's like, oh, it's actually in Australia.
Sir, it's not there.
It would have been...
Oh, my God.
Drudge Report would have just been, like, one big headline that said, like, you know, Obama...
Geography fail.
Yeah, right.
It would have been so bad. Hey, so how do you think the executive order, the most recent executive order, the Buy American, Hire American, is going to play out? I'm looking at a copy of it right now, and it's I think there's a lot of there are a lot of red flags in it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of areas of concern. I think, I mean, I don't even know where to start with it because there's a lot of things you can jump on first. I think, you know, one thing I was talking about on this very station is by moving a job, particularly in medical manufacturing, moving a job into the U.S., we'll do a lot of like, it's like kicking the first domino over. There's a lot of things like they're highly regulated. That procedure takes a long, long process. So we're getting, I mean, everything from like hypodermic needles, tiny parts for pacemakers, even like latex gloves, like a lot of things that were not just pharmaceutical products, but regular daily use medical stuff from Mexico, from Ireland, from like lots and lots of places. And if you start to pull those in and move that manufacturing in, you quickly see unbelievable price changes. And just like in a forecasting model, you quickly see like latex gloves even become this strangely, like, first of all, it will take a very long time to get that and to re-regulate that within the U.S., but also then this very volatile and unpredictable pricing of, I mean, that's just but one little drop in this ocean of this Buy American, Hire American.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I think is obviously sounds good, which is part of the reason he's doing it. I don't, you know, I theoretically like the idea of supporting, you know, making sure that Americans have good jobs and buying things that are produced in America, so you're supporting American companies and all that sort of stuff. Sort of in a vacuum, I like that idea. But then you hit reality, which is exactly what you're saying, is that and so much of this flies against the prevailing reality, which is that we're now a global economy. I mean, the idea of we're going to just make everything here and it's going to be great is just not going to work, because that's not how it works anymore. We're too connected. And so, you know, that's where you fall into that trap of like saying, OK, well, we're going to bring all these manufacturing jobs back. You know, we're going to not give visas to people to come into the country and do certain jobs and all this other stuff. And we don't live in a vacuum. We live in a world that's completely interconnected now. And there is no, I mean, you're right. If they're making syringes or you name it in Mexico and they come here, the price is going to probably quintuple easily. Just based on,
I mean, and that is just but one thing. Like, yeah. Medical manufacturing is but one piece to jump into on that. Because Look, at the end of the day, I'm pro worker, and I mean, the medical part is interesting and fraught, just because our healthcare system is fraught and damaged. We need to gut it and start over, in my opinion. But, you know, there's some language in the executive order like that almost points like, oh, maybe someone could stand behind this for, you know, an increase in minimum wage. For example, Section 2A says, by American laws, in order to promote economic and national security and to help stimulate economic growth, create good jobs at decent wages. First of all, what does that mean? Good jobs.
Yeah, right. That's the most
good and decent. Like, in your estimation, sir, or mine, or like, who's good and who's decent? Strengthen our middle class and support the American manufacturing and defense industrial bases. It shall be the policy of the executive branch to maximize, consistent with law, through terms and conditions of federal financial assistance awards and federal procurements, the use of goods, products, and materials produced in the United States. That alone, just Section 2A, that one paragraph alone could keep you up all night debating issues.
Well, it's also word salad. I mean, it doesn't really, most of that doesn't
word
mean
anything. Salad.
Most of that doesn't mean anything. You know, it's
no.
Like, we are going to do good things.
Right. Good job. Like, my definition of good has parental leave. Yep. It has a livable wage. It has health care. Like, it has a lot of shit attached to it. Then I bet that's not his definition.
No. It's just blah blah that they're pumping out to try to sound good. But again, it's that sort of aspirational stuff versus reality, and avoiding reality is a dumb thing to do. And I would argue that that's what
in is, all areas of life it's dumb to do.
I'd argue that that's what's keeping a lot of people in this country out of the workforce, is that they are not willing to accept the fact that what they used to do don't exist anymore. Doesn't exist anymore. And so they aren't willing to, but they keep thinking somebody's going to bring it back, and they're not. And so they don't change. They don't find a different way to do something. And they're not getting help finding different ways to do things, because the government and other people aren't focusing on what they should be focusing on, which is not this kind of crap that you're talking about, but on retraining people, getting them up to speed, you know, finding ways to create jobs that fit into the economy that exists in the world.
Because, look, you don't unring a bell. You can't make technology go away.
Yeah.
You can't bring back a factory job that has been replaced more effectively, quicker, cheaper, whatever, by automation of some kind. You can only evolve the skill set. That's the reality. That's with anything, not just workers. That's anything. You can't. I mean, every industry that has had some kind of digital disruption has dealt with this.
Yeah.
And manufacturing is just the one that we want to pay attention to, the one we want to talk about, mm-hmm. which I think there's some inherent sexism in, because we tend to only take seriously job sectors that affect men predominantly.
Manufacturing.
Manufacturing. Yes. That's good. I don't think I've heard anyone say that. That's pretty good.
Nice.
Nicely done.
Hashtag nailed it.
I suppose. But it's kind of, I mean, the whole thing is steeped in, it's beyond patriotism. It goes into that exceptionalism mm-hmm. that we are the best. Like, can we just be?
Yeah.
Can we just be? We clearly are not the fucking best.
Yeah.
We clearly are fucking this up 8 ways of Sunday right now. Mm-hmm. We cannot keep shit together. We're punching each other in the streets, some deservedly,
yes,
I'll say. But it's a hot mess. It is a hot mess. And this executive order is like, but the latest, and I like word salad, that's pretty good. But it, I mean, there's some of it where you're like, oh, maybe that would prop up an argument and strengthen and booster an argument for increasing the minimum wage. But as you point out, word salad.
They're never going to do that. And that's the thing that, I mean, I actually am not, again, in a vacuum, I don't think raising the minimum wage is the best idea in a vacuum, which is an odd thing for someone like me to think, because it's generally a very, but again, hear me out for a second.
Like 100 people just clicked away. I'm just kidding. Yes. We have 7 listeners.
Yes. Great. Down to 5.
Five and a half of them just went away.
Right. No, but I did a series of columns on this a year or so ago where I really tried to look at this whole issue of the minimum wage. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry if I'm going off on a tangent here.
That's all right.
Whack me if I shouldn't be doing it. But the ideas that people support instead of a minimum wage are increased job training, and reducing these things like the earned income tax credit and stuff, so you're getting a little more money if you're a lower wage person, and this, that, and the other thing. And again, in a vacuum, that makes a lot of sense. You keep the entry level wages low so that people can get into the workforce even with relatively low qualifications, but then you are training them so that they can quickly accelerate through that part of working, and they start on get on to a better track, as opposed to getting into but I'm not done yet. But there's one thing that'll clear this up, though, because I know
I'm gonna write it down and sit quietly.
I didn't mean to silence you. I wasn't just
typical Pucky.
So that theoretically makes sense. The problem is they never do any of those things. So if the Republicans who talk about job training and better education and all this kind of stuff ever actually would create job training programs and focus on providing better education and do something about the earned income tax credit, I do think actually that would make sense. However, they don't. And because they don't, then I say, okay, well, yeah, then you got to raise the minimum wage because people can't live on what you're doing right now. So that's my point. Is it in a vacuum?
Right.
Theoretically, raising the minimum wage is not the best way. It is a very, very not precise way of targeting low income people. It's not it's not effective in a general sense. But without the other things that would need to happen that would help low-income people get into the workforce, get up and moving up the ladder, then, yeah, you got to do it. Because right now it's ridiculous that people earn that low an amount of money.
Well, and also it is banking on the assumption that all training and education can be equally accessed.
Sure, right.
And you and I both know that just does not happen.
Yeah, no, not at all.
I have personally experienced where male colleagues had access to some like crazy ass executive training, and I was like, why didn't I get to go? Oh, I didn't think you'd want to.
Yikes. Yeah.
Go fuck yourself. I totally would have gone.
Yeah.
Also with you paying.
Yeah.
Company.
Yeah.
Thanks. Right. Like there's no, there's, and that's, you know, said with great privilege, right? So I think there's plenty of, you know, that is contingent upon your boss, whatever your, whoever your immediate supervisor is, probably not being, it's contingent upon your boss being completely unbiased, not sexist, not racist, and not having any bias towards any person in treating every single employee equally. And that's bullshit. That doesn't happen.
Correct.
Ever.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. And that's what, I, yeah, right. So,
so it's not in a vacuum because nothing can be in a vacuum.
Right. I know. I know. But I see the argument against it. And I get that. But I just, right. It's like if you, okay, put up or shut up, and they don't ever put up. So it just is a waste of time. So I do support raising the minimum wage. I just, but I also recognize that it's a blunt instrument for actually doing what you want it to do.
Oh, sure.
There's much more effective ways to
it's do it. It's not
things.
A precision instrument.
Right.
It is a sledgehammer to, like, just kind of enforce a wall, reinforce a wall to keep it from toppling. I agree with that.
Yeah.
So let us switch to the Georgia election and the unbelievable amount of anti-Semitism that that kicked up.
There you go. Welcome to 2017,
Lord.
Everybody. Jeez. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, and I say this every week, like, wow, it's getting so bad. Oh, no. It got very bad in the last 24 hours.
Yeah. It always goes into the, if you, just where you think you hit the bottom. You're like, oh, no, there we go. There's more to come. Thank goodness.
Oh, my God. I mean, some of the things I was seeing, like, just screen grabbed and like, someone was pissed at Wikipedia because they were like, this says this person is a Jew. That's not cool. Can't say that. And I was like, what's wrong with you? What the fuck? What's, like, people were, like, all these insane Nazi trolls last night on Twitter were going insane over someone publicly identifying as Jewish. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening now?
Wait, who was, why were they? Why, that, I don't even understand why they would.
Because that's what Nazis do. They get mad. Nazi is as Nazi does.
Sorry, I should have.
And it's just like, at this point, it's like, for a group that sure likes to call the rest of us snowflakes, like, you're mad that someone has publicly identified as something besides Protestant. So ratchet it down a little bit, bro.
Yeah, it's you just want, I always marvel also at the, I mean, being that hateful takes a lot of time.
Right, you must
effort.
Be worn out by the middle of the day.
I got way too much going on to be horrible.
I'm too busy to be that horrible. Also, I'm not a Nazi.
Yeah, well, that too, right. But.
Like, what does that to-do list look like? 7 a.m., get on Twitter. Yeah. Search the words equality. Search the words feminist. Like, troll those people for a couple of hours.
Insult random people.
Go to lunch.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's so bizarre. I just don't, I mean, I think, you know, sometimes I take the I don't mean specifically just the Nazis, but just trolls in general. Sometimes I feel like it's people just dying to be heard somehow, you know, and there's a sadness to, again, not the Nazis, but they just suck. But you know, there's something about it.
I mean, I think there's the snark is still sort of the default language of the internet, and everybody wants to be the fastest one to say the most cutting thing, just generally. And so if you apply that kind of gasoline to everyone's personality, it's going to pull things out. So if you're kind of a douche, douche will be on display.
Yeah.
If you're a Nazi, Nazi will be on display. It kind of, it's like liquor, right? It like pulls out what your deal is. It's like, actually it's like drinking and money. If you suddenly have a lot of either of those things, it will really start to reveal who you really are.
Yeah.
So I think it's like that.
Interesting. Yeah. I like that. That's an interesting comparison. Twit liquor.
No.
Twitter.
No. That's not a word we're going to say. This is a family show, for Christ's sake.
That didn't come out the way I meant it to. Just FYI, everybody.
I'm dying
sometimes,
over here right now.
Sometimes, like, you should not put two
words
together.
What you do on Saturdays is your business, Hupke, but this is Wednesday, and we do not use that fucking language.
Sometimes two words don't go as well together as you thought they might.
I can't wait for the hashtag to trend when we release this podcast. Oh, my God. That's outstanding.
But the Georgia thing was interesting.
Yeah.
Really. Outside of the anti-Semitism.
The word you just invented in the anti-Semitism. Yes.
Because that showed, I mean, that's a, this was a district that there should not be any competition whatsoever from a Democrat. I mean, this should be a Republican winning by 20 points. And instead, he didn't quite win enough to avoid a runoff, but still 48 something percent was what he hit. It was more, he won more than all of the other Republicans that were in this race combined.
Yeah.
Or so, as Donald Trump put it, great job, Republicans. Way to go. Happy to help.
Oh, landslide.
He was like, what the hell are you talking
about? Yeah.
So, yeah.
But again, that's what he does. He's like, huge landslide, huge, no competition. Come on.
Right.
No.
Yeah. And that's the thing. That's where it's just, it gets stunning to this. All again, it's an alternate reality. It absolutely is. I mean, the way everybody spins, everybody deflects stuff.
Not
in
us.
Not
the facts here on Guth and Hupke on Politics.
You're in the no spin zone. Now that he's gone, we can use that.
Oh, yeah. We can totally take off his catchphrases.
Yeah. It's so brazen. It never ceases to amaze me because, again, every politician lies a little bit. Every politician spins in their favor. But in this case, it's like, just don't say anything. You know, you didn't have to say, there was no need to come out and say, oh, great, what a huge victory for the Republicans. It's like, no, it's not. That was a staggering embarrassment for the Republicans. Even if the Republicans win in the runoff, which they might,
yeah,
it's still unbelievable that it's that close in a
red state.
Yeah, in a red state that, again, it was Price that they're replacing. Price won by like 20%. By like 20 points the last time that he was in the last election that he was involved in. So, it's going to be interesting. But apparently what's going to be interesting now is that I think that nationally you're going to start hearing more about these two candidates, which is kind of dumb, really, because first of all, nobody outside of that district matters. It's only the people there who vote, obviously. And I think that there is, for example, I think the all the Hollywood people kind of popping in and stuff to try to flip the six, as they were saying and stuff. I appreciate that sort of passion. I'd rather see on the ground grassroots passion there as opposed to outside voices coming in and making it seem like it's much more than it actually is. I mean, this is one thing. If they lose the runoff, it's not the end of the world. What it's a good sign for is other congressional districts across the country that don't usually go 20 points towards the Republican. I mean,
it's challenging narratives. There's plenty of people that go, I mean, I personally know people that have gone, man, I would love to run for office in so-and-so area, but like, no way in the world. I could never break that red, you know, no way. I could not get through. I couldn't do it. I'd have to move to so-and-so. And I think sometimes people, you know, this is making people go, well, all right, maybe maybe it's worth doing. If nothing else, just having that big a turnout is progress in my mind.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I just feel like it's, I worry about it getting focused on too much.
I agree.
Because then it becomes more important than it actually. It's one seat. It'd be great if the Democrats got it, but if they don't, it's also not the end of the world, and it doesn't say that much about what's going to happen in the 2018 midterms.
Right. No, I agree with you.
But
it's one district in Georgia. It's not the center of the country.
But it fits perfectly right now with the, you know, Trump is a disaster narrative.
Sure.
And, you know, and everybody's kind of pointing to it as a possible turning point or a reflection. That's what we do. I mean, that's, everybody's always looking for kind of what the narrative is or what the, you know.
I think we have a lot of people that are desperately searching for hope.
Oh, yeah.
to cling to something hopeful right now.
That's very true. Yeah. So, a win is necessary.
but this particular race is what I think, kicked up a lot of that anti-Semitism.
Yeah.
I mean, I saw one guy straight up tweet on Twitter. He was like, he said something like, you know, how does a Jew get this far in my state? And I was like, I started about 7 tweets to the guy, and then finally I was like, fuck it.
No, it's hard. Yeah, you just can't. And the thing is that it's the people like that have been emboldened so much by everything that's happened over the past really year or so.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're not going to quiet down quickly.
And that's why I kept trying to rewrite the tweet, because I was like, if everybody said, fuck it, this guy's not worth it, he's just going to keep going and go unchecked. I mean, my first one was like a little, well, I lived in Atlanta, and there's a very large Jewish population, mostly South African Jews. I was like, let that go. Don't go there. Yeah. He doesn't give a shit. He's just mad that, like, it's not someone covered under his kind of white nationalism. And then I was like, well, as a, I'm like, no, it's, and I just kept, and I was like, ugh, and I kept dropping the tweet and going back to it because I just couldn't, I was like burning with rage over it, but I was also like, here's just one dude.
Yeah. And you give them what they want. I mean, I always go back and forth on that because I agree with you. Sometimes you feel like crap like that shouldn't go unanswered. Other times, just ignore it. You know, perhaps the only thing that would make a person like that go away is just disregarding them. But
yes and no. I mean, I have long wrestled with the don't feed the trolls narrative because sometimes it's not worth it. Like, oh, Twitter egg with three followers. You're going to call me a bitch. Okay, whatever. Fine. But sometimes, I mean, we say that so much. Don't feed the trolls. Don't feed the trolls. What we're really... I mean, the flip side of what we're saying is this is normal behavior. And if you can't hang, don't go there. Don't be on Twitter. Don't read the comments. And that's bullshit because we all have the right to have a reasonable expectation of safety in a public platform or in a public space. Yeah. And I'm not saying we have to be sweet to each other. Criticism is fair. Mm-hmm. But when it's disgusting and when it's like hate speech, it's a whole different deal.
Absolutely.
Whole different deal.
And I think that, I contend that the only thing that stops that is consequences. And the consequences.
Yeah.
And I keep pushing back on companies, for example, to be more cognizant of not, I mean, companies can't monitor their employees' social media accounts. But if anybody is getting harassed or trolled by somebody and has any way of finding out who that person is and where they work.
Well, that's the problem. It's so hard to do.
Yeah, it can be. But sometimes it's not as hard. I mean, I see a lot of stuff. I get... You wouldn't be. It surprises me actually how often I will get emails from people who use company emails to say
something. Oh yeah, I get that too. Yeah. I'm like, you're like the head of HR for this company. I think your CEO would be pissed if I forwarded this email.
And actually, I've got one guy who's been. And if I'm giving it another like month or so, and if it keeps up, I'm gonna set it so that all of his emails forward to the president of his company.
That's so smart.
I'm just going to say it. I don't even have to see it. Just bleep.
You evil genius.
But
that's good.
It's hard, though, because you don't want to, you know, it's like,
right.
You don't want to provoke people, but at the same time, you don't want people to get away with that. And it will never end until it becomes taboo. Or, if not taboo, too dangerous to do because you're going to get your ass fired.
So. Right. But even the word provoke is kind of, is a difficult one because there's a difference in standing up for your people or other people. Mm-hmm. There's a difference in standing up for yourself and others and punching somebody in the face.
Of course.
I mean, I'm interviewing a ton of people on camera to figure out the answer to this, but I don't know the right approach. And I think there is no one size fits all solution, but I think that's part of the narrative that we say that to respond is to provoke, and that's what they want. But in fact, like I think we all have the right to stand up for ourselves, and I think we're getting further entrenched into a non-confrontational culture where it's, you know, where you say, hey, that thing you said hurt my feelings, and it's like, oh my God, she yelled at me. No, I just said a thing. Like, I think we get into a place of non-confrontation that translates online, where we don't. That's kind of this gross cycle that's being fed roundly. That, oh, it's not worth saying something, or to say something would only provoke them, or that's what they want, and then this kind of feeds this culture of silence. And I don't know. It's really problematic. It drives me nuts. I also think. Another of the many issues weighing on my head right now. As you said, like there's kind of been a little bit of encouragement and a lot of people seem to feel like they're free to say all kind of crazy shit online right now. With that comes a great deal of sexism. And as we're stepping into summer, it kind of gets grosser. Just yesterday, a guy shouted something at me from a car, and I tweeted it with the hashtag Stop Street Harassment.
Oh, I saw that.
The first person that responded to me, she goes, oh, good, it's summer. Exactly. Right. That's totally true. So I say that, and like, oh, here I go on my five tangents, and like all the trains on the tracks go different directions. But nonetheless, I just think like we're in a gross time culturally where... It's getting louder. It's getting more dangerous. And I'm struggling with the word, you know, I'm struggling with the idea of ignoring it being the best policy, because I think it kind of falls into, let's have dialogue. Like, you know what? No one gives a shit about dialogue. It's actually time to push hard and fight hard and get some shit accomplished and move some things, change culture, change consequences, do all of these things, because it's just like this unchecked bullying. And since we have King of the Trolls in the White House, it's not, you know, I don't think we're going to change that cultural tide anytime soon.
I think you're right. Yeah. And it is. Yeah, I agree. I wrestle immensely with this whole thing. But, you know, I think that just real quick, I think the problem is that in an online space with no form of human expression or anything like that, even just a response of any sort can be taken as a provocation.
Yeah,
I think the definition of provocation on Twitter, for example, is pretty damn squishy, because, you know, I've done that before. I've responded very nicely to someone, you know, saying, hey, here, you know, whoa, hold on, you know, and then just gotten a torrent of fuck you and blah, 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 and, you know, and off and off and on and on and on. Sometimes
and it's always the weirdest stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I tweeted about that Nivea lotion ad that said white is purity.
Jesus.
I have something like 300 retweets and I don't know how many comments. People have just the craziest shit back to, I was like, guys, it's lotion.
Yeah.
I'm tweeting about Nazis and the patriarchy and systemic injustice all fucking day long, and you want to push on me over lotion?
Yeah, exactly. Try criticizing like a popular sandwich or something like that.
Give
people
it a
rip.
Yeah, fuck the Whopper.
Yeah.
What? Everybody will freak out. I got nothing against the Whopper, for the record.
Yes.
For the record.
There goes another listener.
There goes another potential sponsor. We'll still be making pennies.
Brought to you by Hardee's.
I don't think I've ever been to a Hardee's.
Yeah, I've been there like once.
I'm sure their food is fine.
And
we welcome them as overlord corporate sponsors, I'm sure.
It exists.
Well, all the things. This has been another fine episode of Guthin' Up Again Politics. We are running out of time, so we need to sign off. I hope that we're not all blasted off the earth by this time next week. I always say something really insane and dangerous to close.
Have a great week.
Week. Hope we see each other again. Not as skeletons.
Skeletors.
Yes, as skeletors.
Excellent.
I still feel like we only got talked about half the shit we were going to talk about, Hupke.
Oh, don't worry. There'll be a whole another crap load come next week.
We're going to have to do this every day.
Yeah, it seems that way. And we still wouldn't be able to talk about it at all.
We're going to need this like 5 times a day. Yeah. Let's just have the Guth and Hupke network, we just talk all
right,
day
we'll
long.
Just have, yeah, we'll just wear headsets around everywhere.
Walk like, around. Oh, it'll be like constant Facebook Live.
Yeah.
Both of us, all the time. People will love that.
I don't want that. I'm just going to go on the record as saying there's going to be parts of my life that I don't want that.
No. Not at all. I agree. There are parts of your life I don't want to. Good times. Well, have yourself a fine week, everybody, and we will talk to you next time.